right, guys, what up? This is Drew, and...
Hey, this is Brad.
Abducting you for yet another episode of Unidentified Flying Podcast.
And we actually have the sound working.
And I just thought of that abducting line.
Hey, there you go.
So you know. Anyway, ufppodcast@gmail.com. If you got any comments, suggestions, gripes, rage, whatever.
I've got a Twitter.
Oh, we got a Twitter now? What's the...
@UFPPodcast.
@UFPPodcast, so...
So, I mean, I put some stuff up on there every now and then.
Okay, cool. So anything that's terrible on there, it's Brad's fault, not mine.
It's on me. I'm sorry.
And, okay, so... this episode, at least to start... do you want to talk about the stuff we're going to do up... Let's talk about the stuff we're going to do upcoming now. Because it would be kind of... I'd rather do it now than end on it.
That's fine.
Okay, so... In the future, I'm a huge X-Files fan. You're a pretty big X-Files fan.
Yeah,
so we're going to do like a, you know, the show's coming back in January for like a 6-episode run. Hopefully more. I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. So we'll do like kind of a talk about the X-Files in general. Maybe like a top 10 favorite episodes. So if you've never watched the X-Files before... Or if you are an X-Files fan, I think either way you may enjoy listening to it. If you're not a fan, or just never watched it, it may give you kind of some insight into, you know, why some people think it's such a good show.
It's a good paranormal show.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah,
and there were some. If I remember right, there was like an episode or two. Like it's technically based in Oklahoma. Like they you know how they would start an episode out and be like, "Hey, we're in."
Yeah, I think, yeah, we're, like, at the bottom. It'll say, like, you know, such and such. I think there might have been, like, a Will Rogers Airport, Oklahoma City at, you know, 2:06 a.m.
I'm just pulling this way off the top of my head. If I remember right, it's the episode where, like, there's some kind of screeching bugs or something, and they're, like, in a housing addition, and they go in there, and, like, they're just getting attacked bird-style, like Alfred Hitchcock bird-style by bugs or something. And that's technically, it was, like, in some town in Oklahoma.
Huh.
Strange, I know.
I don't remember that episode.
It's one of those filler episodes, you know.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, it's a good paranormal show, and plus, you know, we're gonna touch on some of those topics in future episodes anyway. Just paranormal stuff,
yeah.
As it is. So.
Yeah. So far, I mean, so far we've talked a lot about sports. We really haven't gotten into
anything else.
Yeah. So that's going to change now. I think maybe for the next handful of episodes.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about some things here and there, but
we can mix it up. You know.
Yeah.
Don't have to do one whole episode on X-Files, but we'll.
Yeah. So X-Files at some point we're going to talk about, and then we're maybe going to start trying to do just some lists, like some top 10 lists of just various like topics. You know, favorite movies, favorite, you know, albums, musicians, stuff like that. I think we may try to do like a kind of a running top 100 where every episode will give 10 of that top 100, counting all the way down to one of some particular, you know, criteria, you know, be it movies, video games. Hell, that's
like a show or something.
Yeah. TV shows, okay, you know, favorite TV shows or best TV shows of all time. And, you know, our, well, my not so humble opinion. I'm sure yours is maybe humble. I don't know. if you don't like my shows, I mean, there's something wrong with you really, but
well, that's the thing. I mean, everybody watches something different.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I mean, that's kind of that.
Yeah, all kidding aside, yeah. Because I know there's a lot of people, like, I highly, highly regard the X-Files. Like, the X-Files, I don't even mind, you know, saying it now. The X-Files, I mean, I'll sit down and, you know, whenever it kind of comes time to really make a full list, but, man, the X-Files it's a favorite to be number one. Of my favorite TV shows.
Of all shows.
Yeah,
that's saying something.
Which, I mean, when I just sitting here thinking about it, there's other stuff that's going to compete with it, but man, I just don't know that I've ever gotten out of a TV show so much enjoyment. And it's just, it was kind of that show that sort of, in a lot of ways, you could argue that there were, and I mean, it's like any TV show, there are things that come off as procedural, you know, things that come off as formulaic. But that show went off the beaten path. And you got to think, this show started, it was like a 93 is when that show started?
Maybe earlier.
No, I think it was 93. I think it was 93 to 2002, I think. And really there's, you know, it took a show like, you know, stuff like The Outer Limits, The Twilight Zone, which I really liked those shows, and it made a coherent, like, kind of storyline and characters throughout it. Because The Twilight Zone and The Outer Limits, I like those shows, but they were like one offs.
Week to week.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's different characters every week, a whole different story.
Which any show does anyway.
Yeah, know. but there were never the same characters. It was always just, you know, new actors, new characters. It's a single self-contained story, and it has nothing to do with the episode before it or any of the episodes after it. It's just another little glimpse into the Twilight Zone, so to speak.
Monster of the Week.
Yeah. Whereas the X-Files was like, we're going to make an overarching story,
yeah,
and we're going to throw in the Monster of the Week, too.
Yeah.
But we're going to have, there's always going to be the same two characters, pretty much, that are, you know, that everything is tied to those characters. And I just thought that was cool that they did that somebody, it was kind of a bit of a roll of the dice, I think. I mean, I think it was a risky show. But anyway, that's, we're getting a little too into the weeds on the X-Files, I think. So
we'll get more into it.
Yeah, so those are kind of the things that we're going to, you know, talk about in the future. I think maybe at least for
it's
a little bit.
It's a favorite show between the both of us.
So exactly, yeah. So
we're definitely going to be talking about it.
Exactly.
With the new show coming out.
Yeah, I'm so pumped for it, too. I DVR, you know, stuff and watch, you know, Walking Dead, all that kind of stuff. You know, DVR the whole season. Me, personally, I like to just binge watch it. I don't know that I'm going
to
be able to...
If I know
it's out there, I don't know that I'm going to be able to resist, like, I got to see it now, and then be pissed off for the whole next week because I got to wait.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try to DVR it. I'm going to try. I just don't know that I'm going to be able to succeed, so we'll see. But anyway, so that's kind of what we plan to do, you know, kind of going down the road a little bit. Today, though, another kind of favorite between us that you just watched, like, over the last couple of months, you just kind of...
The whole catalog,
you watched all of them. James Bond.
Yeah, and I had seen a lot of the movies before anyway, but some were like, oh, I've only seen, like, part of this one or part of that one, and or maybe I'd seen all of it, but maybe just not in one sit down. And there was, you know, there's a random one or two that I hadn't seen, but yeah, I was just like, I want to like watch through the whole series.
And we watched some of them together, mostly the it was really just two. It was a couple of the Daniel Craig ones.
Yeah, and I'd never seen any of the Daniel Craig ones, which is, he's the newest Bond.
Yeah. So, and if you don't know that, you've been living under a rock or something, because just in the last month, really, Spectre released, and we went to go see it last weekend. And so we're going to talk a little bit about it, and then maybe kind of talk about our favorite, you know, maybe a top five favorite Bond movies of all time between, you know, the two, or for each of us. And yeah, so Spectre.
I mean, it did really well from what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
At the box office, people seem to love it. I think it did better than the one before. It probably was Skyfall. You know?
Oh, it did better than Skyfall?
I think so. I mean, I don't...
Didn't know that.
Wouldn't swear to it or anything, but, it was pretty successful, and it was like number one for I don't know how long. So I mean, that's all I can really ask for any movie.
Oh yeah,
especially
yeah.
James Bond.
It's definitely been successful. I mean, Daniel Craig's had a successful run as James Bond. I don't think any of the movies have been universally panned or anything. And I've liked overall. I think he's been a good Bond. He's been a different Bond. He's not my favorite Bond, but his movies aren't necessarily my favorite, but I do like them all right.
It was different, but yeah, I'm with you. It was very enjoyable. I mean,
yeah, I think they kind of almost took like a... actually, one of the cool things I thought that they've done, and we talked about this after we saw the movie, is from Casino Royale, his first one, all the way through this one, which may be his last one, Spectre, it's almost like each one is the same story, kind of just continuing onward.
It's very tied together.
Yeah, it's not totally unrelated. Like, you know, a lot of the other Bonds, you go from one movie to the next, they're not really related.
I mean, some of the early ones were, but it was just like,
it was like little minor things.
Yeah, and it wasn't
like in
really
From Russia
tied
with
together.
Love.
It was just like, hey, the same characters in it from the last movie. That's it. There's not like a connecting story.
That there's like a mention of, like, I remember from Russia with Love, actually, which is the second Bond movie. They mentioned Dr. No,
yeah,
which was the main villain from the first movie, as being a Russian kind of like agent to some extent. Like, he wasn't Russian, obviously, but he was like, Russia was basically like kind of backing him.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of, so you kind of are left to go, oh, well, okay, so from Dr. No, that's what kind of led James Bond into the whole story of From Russia with Love. But they don't really hang much on that. They just kind of mention Dr. No in it. that Dr. No was kind of like a disciple of this Smirch organization.
Yeah, and that's the first, so, see, From Russia with Love is the first one that has Blofeld in it. Which, if you don't know who Blofeld is, that's the...
It's the main
Bond
villain.
That's Dr. Evil.
Yeah, it's, yeah,
it's
exactly.
If you don't know anything about James Bond, it's Dr. Evil.
Yeah.
It's that guy who's like, I'm going to try and have some kind of plot to take over the world or destroy the world, and I make a huge amount of money off of it.
Yeah.
And the plot seems literally insane, because it probably is.
Yeah, and my main nemesis is James Bond.
Yeah.
And vice versa. That's, if Bond had, that's Bond's nemesis, is Blofeld. So anyway, let's just talk about Spectre. What'd you think?
I thought it was a pretty good movie. I mean, it seemed like they took some of the best bits and pieces out of all the old James Bond movies and, you know, threw them in there and like, hey, there's this part from this movie. And this is happening.
And Skyfall did that a little bit, too.
Yeah, and, you know, every one of them does, but like this one seemed like, hey, it's been a while, so let's bring back that theme from Goldfinger. Let's bring back something that happened in Thunderball.
Quantum of Solace did the whole Goldfinger thing with the girl.
Yeah, and they substituted
gold for oil.
Yeah,
but it was a girl basically dipped in oil as opposed to gold, left dead on James Bond's bed.
I mean, so, you could say that the good reason why they do that in this series now, especially, is it is kind of a prequel or. Maybe not prequel, but like, you know, he had just, in the, I think the first Daniel Craig one, he, you know, it's like he had just become a 00. So it's kind of like they had almost rebooted it in a way, rebooted the story, so to speak.
Sure.
Although that's kind of something that wasn't in the other ones, where you're talking about like they weren't really related to one another. These ones very much are. That's part of this. That's part of the occurring story, is like he just became a 00. Then he, you know, has this happen to him, that experience carries over to the next movie, and so on, so through four movies, basically. Like, hey, this thing happened in the last movie, I remember that, maybe it's messed me up over what happened, something that he died, that type of thing.
Yeah.
The other movies are just like, hey, this is a completely new story, and we're going to the moon in this movie, and it's crazy.
Yeah.
James Bond is there.
Yeah. And I liked Spectre okay. I mean, I think it might be, overall, I think it might be the weakest of the Daniel Craig Bond movies. Like I told you, I thought that everything that was really cool and awesome and introduced in that in Spectre was abbreviated.
Yeah.
It
built up, and then it was like, oh, now we're going here, and you're
moving
we could have just stayed
else.
Right here. And
yeah, like there's a whole point in the movie where they're in like, I mean, it just, to me, is just evocative of, man, we are in a 1960s era, like, Bond villain secret lair. And, man, we didn't spend enough time there.
I know.
We're about that. We're
or
there
Blofeld
for. Blofeld. Yeah, Blofeld. Yeah, Blofeld's really not.
I'm a villain kind of fan sometimes.
Sure.
And he's one of the best ones out of any genre.
Yeah, yeah. He's
a movie, Blofeld.
I mean, in a lot of ways, you got to think he's kind of a prototypical sort of. Yeah. The whole notion that you have a. You know, a villain that, you know, I'm going to reveal my whole plot to you because I have you just exactly where I want you. And
that's
then
why it spoofed through so many things.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That, you got to think that's James Bond is kind of what started all that with the Blofeld villain. And I thought Christoph Waltz was great as Blofeld.
I love him as an actor.
Yeah.
Like, he was going to play Blofeld.
Yeah.
So sign me up.
Thumbs up. Yeah. 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 And like I said, I like Daniel Craig as Bond. And I think well, part of my problem is I really like Judi Dench as M. I liked her. And I guess to avoid some... I mean, you should have seen Skyfall by now, but just in case you haven't, I'll just say I don't enjoy Ralph or Rafe.
Ralph Fiennes?
I'm going to call him Ralph.
That you don't like Ralph Fiennes?
No. I'm just saying... To me, that motherfucker's Ralph. That guy's name looks like Ralph.
Okay.
Right. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if I met him, I'd be nice
Voldemort.
And say Rafe. But yeah, Voldemort, yeah.
He's been in so many other things.
Yeah, and he's a great actor.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just don't know if I dig him as M. He's a very... He's a very stiff upper lip, like, Brit. Like, he comes off like that.
I think he fits the part exactly like with what you're just saying, but it was kind of like he was in the... It's almost like in this movie, he was like... I'm an agent too, and I'll
Which there were parts of that in Skyfall as well. That whole courtroom scene and stuff where he had to start.
But
you know,
in the old movies, when did M ever do any of that?
Exactly.
He's just like, hey, I'm the guy. Like, you walk into my office, and I give you the lowdown.
Yeah.
Or I,
yeah.
you know, I bit you out because you blew something up that I didn't want you to, or killed exactly. somebody that I didn't want you to do.
And it's not that I think, you know, Ralph Fiennes is a bad M. I think it's just the way that they've tried to use the M character. I thought it worked, like, in Skyfall when they took M, Judi Dench as M, and put her all of a sudden, like, in harm's way. I thought that was cool because Bond was, like, oh, really protective of her. Like, Bond, like, it gave, like, it this all of a sudden, like, oh, shit, the it's not somebody, it's not some, you know, Bond girl at risk. It's almost like, I mean, a kind of a mother figure.
Yeah,
kind
she's of. Not, and plus she's not able to, like, really
yeah,
protect
she's,
herself.
Exactly. She's not like a, you know, she's not totally worthless or anything, but she's not a 00.
Yeah.
You know, and she's not like, you know, like Moneypenny. Moneypenny in these new movies, I mean, hell, in Skyfall,
she's
the beginning of
it,
she's out there in the field, yeah, like, you know, yeah. taking people out. And I'm like, cool, she can handle herself. But M, you know, I mean, she's like an octogenarian or whatever,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I thought that was a cool dynamic they added there. But then I think they just kept, they decided to keep running with it with, you know, Ralph Fiennes, his M, which I'm, like I said, I don't hate him. I don't hate the way they're doing the character. I just was kind
of
like, eh. I didn't really, every time,
some more.
Yeah, every time they would switch to M, I was just kind of like, eh, here's going to be kind of a, the story's going to dip.
Yeah.
And, or the for me, the movie's going to dip some until we get back to Bond. But in Skyfall and Quantum of Solace and Casino Royale and, you know, because she was M in the Pierce Brosnan movies.
Yeah, she was. Yeah.
Whenever they switched to M in those movies, I'm like, cool, this is going to be interesting. I liked what they did with her in those movies. Like, I thought M, they made M a bigger character, and they didn't make it, like, I don't know, they just...
But it
just
didn't go anywhere different with the role. Like, it was still, like, doing exactly what M had always done.
Yeah, they just made it a bigger part of the story.
Yeah.
And I was like, I like that. I think they've been a, you know, I mean, Judi Dench is a ridiculous actress, so I mean, she's, you know, you can't she's good in whatever you're gonna put her in.
She won an Oscar for being in a movie for 8 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
What movie?
Shakespeare in Love.
It's really? She won
Ralph,
an Oscar?
Ralph. It's
Ralph.
Ray Fiennes,
Ralph again.
His brother. No, it's his brother.
Oh,
he was in that. He plays Shakespeare.
Oh, okay. Is his what's
yeah,
his?
Yeah, she played. What,
what's
Queen
his
Elizabeth.
Name?
And
what's his name? Does he have some weird name too?
Who, Ray Fiennes?
No, his brother. Yeah, was he like?
He played Shakespeare.
Well, I know, but I mean, what's the actor's
oh, God,
name?
I can't
is
remember
like,
his name. I'm not good with that. You're way better at that.
Does it look like Jeremy, but it's actually called like Jerome or something?
I don't think so.
Okay, all right.
Ray Fiennes' brother. For anyone who wants to look that up, there
okay,
you go.
All right. So yeah, we have all those things, and I just like I said, I thought all the cool stuff was abbreviated. The biggest one being that 1960s kind of lair that I was just like, oh, this is so awesome when we got to that point in the movie. And then they just truncated, man. It was like, okay, we're done here after about, you know, 7 minutes. And I'm like, oh, no,
yeah.
man.
That's a good example
the
for
the finale
everything
of the movie
else
could
in that
have
movie,
been
though,
there.
There was like, there was that. There was like certain parts of the plot where you're like, oh, wow, this is epic. And then we're looking
yeah.
at this over here. Look, you know, it's just like, come on, just focus on it. It was almost like there was like two or three different plots running all at the same time. And just because that's it's two or three plots, they weren't able to like focus on just one or even two.
And I think enough. Bond movies may run into this a lot where it's almost like, you know, we booked a bunch of locations and hell, you know, we got to go use them.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to be in Monaco. Well, let's go to Monaco.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, what are you going to shoot
there?
And
it was like for like a 5 minute scene.
And you know what? I got to say this too. As far as intros go, the whole Mexico City opening, I was kind of like, eh.
That's kind of a good example. Like, they probably went to Mexico City, did all that, and it was like for an intro, I just didn't
I was like,
care
yeah, I mean,
about.
We could have started out some, I mean, I just
and
didn't
it was,
really.
It was kind of long for
yeah,
what it was.
Yeah, it was, that's, I mean, you know, I don't know if I'm going to be spouting off bullshit here, but God, man, it seemed like that was like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Of movie before the credits started to roll, which is typical. But you know, Bond, it starts out with the action sequence, cool, and then the credits come in, and they're those iconic opening credits.
And they sing their song,
and the naked
the
chicks are dancing
yeah.
around, and
yeah.
bullets are flying around, and blood's
yeah.
flying all over the place. And you're like, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I didn't really dig the song. I don't know who did it, but
is this some
guy? Okay,
I don't know.
I'm not familiar with him. I've heard that he's a big deal now. But
you
I'm
know
not
what I thought of
him.
It? I'm like, is this like the next Seal? singing this song.
There is no next seal. There's only one seal.
Only one seal. Yeah.
So yeah, no, I agree. I didn't really dig the song. The credits part of it, you know, that was cool. I was like, yeah, it's, you know, trippy, weird. You know,
it's like any other Bond.
It's like it's
movie. Yeah.
And I mean, as far as songs go, the Daniel Craig ones, I did like the Skyfall song. Adele did that one. I liked it. I thought it was good. It was evocative of some, like, you know, Tina Turner shit, which I really love, like the GoldenEye song. Oh, I love that song. And which was, that was evocative of Goldfinger, kind of, which I love that song too. But anyway, overall, like I said, the movie's not bad, but I would kind of, if I had to rate that movie on a scale of 1 to 10, that movie would be like a 6.5 or something for me.
That's what sucks is, like, I want it like it more, because that's kind of what got me pumped up about the movie in the first place, was like the name Spectre.
Yeah.
I mean, they haven't had a movie, a James Bond movie with Spectre in it since early 80s, late 70s.
I'm trying to think if Roger Moore even did anything with Spectre. Yeah, I think
he had that one where, like, Blofeld's in the very first of the movie. That's it. And it's not really about Spectre or anything.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was like, that's something they haven't done since the first 10 movies.
Yeah.
Or however many, you know. And
yeah.
Plus, like I said, they're going to have Christoph Waltz play Blofeld. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I love this. I already love this movie.
Yeah.
And then that's what I'm saying. Like, it's good, but it's like, God, it could have been even better, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. So overall, I think we're probably around the same. I mean, you know, probably it's not a bad movie. It's not a great movie. As far as Bond movies go, it's like, it's all right.
It's kind of like I told you, like the Daniel Craig ones, there's 4. I'd probably rank it 4th.
Yes.
I still like Skyfall, Quantum of Solace, and
Casino Royale. I agree. I would rank it as the lowest of the Daniel Craig movies.
It's not the worst Bond movie, though.
No, there's some bad ones. No, yeah.
Yeah, that's something to say. Not all these Bond movies are good.
Daniel Craig has had a good run. I recommend, if you haven't watched them, his catalog there, his 4 Bond movies, overall, they're solid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good... He's had a good run as Bond.
Yeah.
So, let's then talk our top 5s. Bond movies of all time. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
No, you go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
All right, I'll go. So, I'm going to cheat on number 5 a little bit. And that's... And this was whenever I watched it with you. I hadn't seen it since it first came out. I always said I didn't like Quantum of Solace. I watched it again, and I was like, man, why didn't I like this movie? And I still can't put a finger on why I initially didn't like it.
Maybe you're in a bad mood.
I might have been. I don't know. Maybe I was pissed off about something. I don't know. I'm trying to think. What was that? Because I went and saw it in theaters. So, I think it was like 2008. What was I mad about? I don't know. I might have been mad at everything in 2008. I don't know. I was rapidly approaching 30. Maybe I was just like, you know, fuck the world. I don't know.
I guess, yeah.
But anyway, no. I mean, I saw it. I watched it again. And I was like, man, this is like wall-to-wall action, man, and it's really good action. It's got good villains. It's got good, you know, chemistry between him and the Bond girls that are in it.
It's just one of those movies, even besides being James Bond, it just worked.
Like, yeah, and I don't movie. Know... Thank you. And after watching, I was like, I don't know why I had such a grudge against this movie to begin with. So, you know, in a rare example of willing to admit I was wrong... I think I was really wrong about Quantum of Solace. I really enjoyed it the second time that I watched it whenever we watched it together. And so I'm going to put it up there at number 5, but I'm going to put another movie right there with it. So I'm going to kind of cheat. I'm going to sneak 2 in together and say it's a tie for number 5.
That's saying something, though. You're going to put it in top 5?
Because I think it typifies that movie. Quantum of Solace typifies... Well, I don't want to say it typifies... Well, taking Bond in the direction that they took it, which was almost this sort of, you know, off the grid Jason Bourne-ish sort of thing more realism. I thought that kind of was like I think it's the best one Daniel Craig's done.
Okay.
I liked it better than Skyfall. I liked it. Casino Royale I like, but Casino Royale is so fucking long.
Yeah, and it's something
that's, and hell, Spectre's
it's not action-packed.
That's the other thing too. Casino Royale is 2.5 hours long. Even though I still think it's too long, I don't know what it was about that movie, but I didn't mind that it was 2.5 hours. Spectre is 2.5 hours as well. I definitely think they could have shaved 15-20 minutes off that movie.
Or just arranged it differently where I was more entered. Yeah. Like I said, you know, instead of being abbreviated on something.
I could feel the drag.
They could have just went along with it, and it would have been 2.5 hours, and I would have been totally fine.
Yeah. So, anyway, okay, so right there, number 5, Quantum of Solace, tied with The Living Daylights.
That's Timothy Dalton, right?
Timothy Dalton, okay. One of his two. I don't know what it is about that movie, but I just really like that. I mean, Timothy Dalton, in my opinion, is guilty of being in one of the better Bond movies ever, Living Daylights, and one of the worst ones ever made, License to Kill. I cannot stand License to Kill. It's maybe the worst Bond movie, in my opinion. And he only did two, and then he was gone. And I don't think he's gotten a very fair shake overall, because I thought Timothy Dalton was a good Bond. Even in License to Kill, I thought he was a good Bond.
Yeah.
But License to Kill is also kind of the first one where you see that whole little Bond's kind of going off the reservation sort of thing and doing his own thing. I just don't think it worked in License to Kill at all. And plus, they do some terrible things to Felix Leiter and his family and all that kind of stuff. I was just like, man, dude, this is...
It just rubbed you the wrong way.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, I don't mind that if it's a revenge story, cool. I just didn't think it just came... It just wasn't done right. But anyway, Living Daylights, Quantum of Solace, tied at number 5. I thought Timothy Dalton was just fine as James Bond. I thought he was pretty good. And you got to think of all the people who had played him up to that point. Timothy Dalton was known... He was a big stage actor. So it's almost like, you know, I think you might have had some of the kind of... Like, whenever Patrick Stewart came in and took over, or came in as, like, the main focus of a TV show playing, like, captain of the Starship Enterprise, you know, he came in with this sort of, you have this classically trained actor coming in.
He'd never really done TV.
He really never done anything, okay. And anything like this. I think you kind of maybe had some of that sort of grinding that goes on between actor and producer and director when you have a guy who's a classically trained actor, a stage actor, come in and try to do something like this. And I actually thought Timothy Dalton did great, just like, you know, Patrick Stewart did great as Captain Picard and all that. But I think you can see, it's easier to see in Star Trek The Next Generation than it is in these Bond movies, because, you know, he only did two Bond movies, whereas you have, you know, 7 seasons to see Patrick Stewart.
You gotta think, like, Captain Picard's a big monologue.
Yeah, like, but you could see that character kind of loosen up a bit,
yeah,
as time goes on, mm-hmm, until you hits that sweet spot and then runs with it for like 5 seasons or something, yeah, where it's like, that's... Because anytime you usually see people talk about, you know, Captain Picard, it's like, dude, the first 2 seasons of that show are just really fucking
awkward. It's pretty rough, yeah.
Yeah, it's whenever that third season
that's
hits...
That's almost any show, too.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
Especially that one, since it's, you know, science fiction. And
exactly.
Like, what's going on? Yeah.
You know, it's got to, you know, trying to find its legs and stuff like that, but... Anyway, Living Daylights, Quantum of Solace, tied at number 5 for me. So, number 4. Let me see. Yeah. Okay, so number 4. For me, I've always had... we had talked about it a little bit earlier, From Russia with Love. I've always loved that movie.
I don't get this one, honestly.
Here's the thing. And you know what? Spectre had a little bit of it, too. The whole Orient Express, like the whole scene on the train.
Yeah.
I loved it in Spectre.
That
was
cool. From Russia with Love. There's a big scene in that.
And From Russia with Love, you take that scene in Spectre and stretch it out over like 30 minutes of the movie. I loved it, man. There's so much intrigue on that train, yeah, dude. I thought it was the biggest Bond movie for me that had like all this. It was all subtle and slow. It was like a slow burn, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of intrigue on this train, and there's not going to be a single punch thrown or a single shot fired until the very end of it, when there's like kind of this big, like, kind of client, like, you know, culmination of kind of tension that kind of has this big, you know, kind of action scene ending. I just love that part, that whole stretch of that movie on the train, man. I just love
it. Yeah, it's good. I just remember watching that movie and I'm like, it gets to the end and I'm like, and the credits pull up and I'm like, it's over? I don't remember exactly why, but I'm like, it almost seemed like a filler movie.
Really?
Where it's like, hey, yeah, where it was like, this happened, and, you know, we're kind of moving along on a plot, and I was like, okay, what's going to happen? Credits. I was like, what? It's over? Like, okay, you know, and then I was like, well, hell, just watch the next one, you know? But that's just kind of the weird, you know, maybe I've only seen it once. I'm like, maybe I just missed something or I'm wrong about that. But yeah, it just seemed like it just which is kind of like, hey, this is a some cool James Bond stuff. End scene. All right.
And actually, Yeah. I'm sorry. I've got my list in my head. I'm just trying to think if I didn't misspeak. Okay, yeah. So that was number four.
Okay.
Number three, I would have to say it's Goldfinger. Goldfinger's...
It's one of the most iconic ones out of all.
And it's so good.
And it's good, too, yeah.
It's so good. Blofeld. Or not Blofeld. I mean,
He's actually
Oric,
not in it.
Oric Goldfinger, rather. I'm sorry. Is a great villain. If I had to pick another villain for them to somehow bring back somehow, I thought he was just a great villain.
Yeah,
he had a lot of good quotes. You know, the whole like, "Do you expect me to talk?" "No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die." That's out of Goldfinger, man. Yeah. I mean, he's got him on that little laser table or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's
he's gonna split him in half with those lasers.
It's a great line. Yeah. I mean, and he was just a good villain. And I mean, you know, you got like somebody's trying to, you know, everybody always talks. You know, it's like kind of one of those little. Fort Knox. Somebody's trying to break into Fort Knox.
Yeah.
It's cool. I mean, it's, you know, you
that's
got
basically what the whole movie's about.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bit of a smoke screen there, mm-hmm. but, you know, Bond's the one that figures out, no, it's Fort Knox they're after. And you got a lot of cool Americana stuff in there, you know, 1960s era.
It's like one of the few ones that's in America.
Yeah, I mean, I think Diamonds Are Forever was in Vegas and stuff. And
that's kind of it, really.
Yeah, I mean, you had some...
They'll stop here, but then it was a scene, and that was...
It's on our way to somewhere else.
Yeah, like those two movies are like, hey, we're in America.
We're in the States, yeah. And I thought that was really cool. I mean, there's so much about that movie, dude. The style that oozes out of that movie. And it's the 60s, man. It's like the height of the 60s.
Yep.
And Sean Connery, you know, at his best, dude. Well, I don't actually, technically, in my opinion, not quite at his best, because we'll get a little further down the list here in a second. But Goldfinger, awesome movie. I can't say anything else about it. It's just a great flick. If you've never seen it, change that. Go see it. Go rent it. Go whatever. Buy it. Whatever. Okay, so number two. This one was tough because how much of a real legit Bond fan can I be if I don't have a, you know, if somebody's above Sean Connery? But God, I love this movie so much, and it's the only good one he made. Oh wait, no, I fucked up my list.
That's all right. You just say it anyway.
Yeah. So this
Sean Connery wasn't the only Bond, man.
Yeah. So actually, you know what? I'm willing to kick from Russia with Love off my list and put in instead at number four on Her Majesty's Secret Service. I forgot about that one.
Oh yeah, that's
George Lazenby's only one. Okay, so let's talk about that really quick. Okay, that's my number four. So number five.
Who knows what number it is at this point?
And like the worst top five ever. Number five and four.
It's your favorite ones.
Okay. Yeah, and number five and four is Quantum of Solace, Living Daylights. I've cheated there, so I'm going to continue to cheat there. Number four, On Her Majesty's Secret Service. George Lazenby as Bond. Awesome movie. Totally underrated. People talk shit about this guy as Bond.
Really?
Dude, man, I don't know that nowadays they do, but man, whenever he... Dude, people freaked the fuck out back in the day.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Because Connery was like, dude, I'm done.
Yeah.
And they brought this dude in, and Connery obviously came back for Diamonds Are Forever, and then Never Say Never again later. But I thought George Lazenby was a great Bond.
I'm glad you brought it up, because if I was given a top five, I probably would have forgot about it. But yeah, it's a damn good movie.
Yeah, and it's, man, you want to talk about like a gut punch.
Yeah, it's probably the most
of that movie.
I don't know how to put it. Like, touching isn't the right word. But
no,
like,
no, that is right.
It's touching,
it's tragic.
Especially as far as like Bond's concerned, himself personally.
Yeah.
That's something I would say that's kind of different with Daniel Craig's series of Bond, where it's like they try to like talk more about him, mm-hmm. his past. Himself personally, just, you know, like people he knew, family, growing up, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And none of the other Bonds do any of that.
Yeah, not really.
Even on...
There's a little bit they do with Pierce Brosnan, a little bit, but it's like, it's brief, man. It's brief. But yeah, that was the most vulnerable I think you ever see Bond. Ever. Even in these new movies, like where dude, somebody has like really like got like they really hit bond like in a bad place. I won't
spoil it for anybody.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it for anybody. If you've never seen On Her Majesty's Secret Service,
watch it.
You got to go see it.
So that was Inspector. I thought too. High in the mountain.
Yep.
Doctor's clinic in the middle of just on a mountain peak in the middle of nowhere.
Which yeah, we were talking about that too when we watched these. You know, what was it? Quantum of Solace had it. It had the hotel in the middle of the desert. Like there's literally.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm like nothing
only
around.
In a Bond movie. And Inspector, you have that like clinic up in the middle of the Alps or something. Yeah. I'm like only in a Bond movie.
Yeah.
Will you see something like this?
How do they get up there? I guess they. Oh, they got a lift.
They've got a lift, but I mean, but who would build a fucking hospital up there?
How'd they take anything up there? Like, I need to get a bed up there. Like, well, it's
yeah, we need an MRI machine. Yeah, you're gonna have to bring it by helicopter. It just doesn't make. I don't know, but whatever. That's one of the funny, you know, kind of neat
so
things
over the
about.
Top,
yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, oh man, this like sleepy place in the middle of nowhere, and there's like this massive complex, and you're like, okay, all right. But anyway, okay, so number four for me, Honor Majesty Secret Service. Number three, Goldfinger, which we've already talked about. So now number two. This was tough for me, my number two and number one. But
which one's the best?
Number two, GoldenEye.
I know you like GoldenEye. Like,
oh, God.
I'm not saying I don't like it, but I'm like, I don't know if I put it top five.
Shit, it was almost my number one.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what's kind of crazy. Like, why do you like it so much?
Okay, here's what I love.
That's for starters. Like, there hadn't been a Bond movie in a long time.
Yeah,
they brought it back.
Yep,
that was Pierce Brosnan's first one.
Yep, and what they did out the gates was they had an awesome villain. Well, first of all, I think that may have the best opening of any Bond movie with him in 006.
It's pretty cool.
Trying to like attack that complex and it doesn't go well.
Sean Bean is
006. Sean Bean is 006, who I think, dude, God, dude, what a 007 he would have been.
Yeah.
And I know he wanted to be. He tried to be.
That's true.
And I love that. I love Sean Bean as an actor, dude. You want to look at like, if you're a Sean Bean fan and you've never seen the Sharps Rifles series, holy shit.
Okay, yeah, you're
based
right.
on
you're
a...
Right.
Cornwell series of novels. Awesome, dude.
I think they're actually remaking that.
They're remaking Sharps Rifles.
Yeah, dude.
Really? With Sean Bean? Or
no, I don't know.
He's
a little
too
Bean,
old
but,
probably now. But
yeah.
Oh, man. Well, that's great. I know we bought my
I
dad.
Might be wrong on that, but there's some kind of like series.
Sharps Rifles something.
Sharps something, yeah.
I know we bought my dad like the box set of the whole series, and it's cool. It comes in like a little, the DVD set comes in like an ammo crate, like an old like wooden ammo crate. I thought it was pretty cool. But love that series of... kind of TV shows, like it's not like a series, like a TV series. It was like there were TV movies, like, and they made like, God, I don't know, like 15 of them or something. I mean, they're really good, and it's cool, like Napoleonic era stuff. You know, with the main character being, I believe it's Richard Sharp, an English soldier who kind of rises through the ranks. Really great series, and that's what got me. You know, that's one of the things that got me, like, when I watched those when I was a lot younger. I really liked Sean Bean. Loved him in GoldenEye. Everything I've seen him in, I'm like, dude, Sean Bean, man, what a great actor. Game of Thrones, dude. I mean, everything. Ronan, if you've never seen Ronan. Yeah, Boromir. Yeah, he was great as Boromir, man. That's one of the things I love about that movie.
Sean Bean.
Sean Bean as a great opening and then a great villain. That's something I wish, man. I wish that villain would they would have kept that villain around, because I think next to Blofeld, that's the best villain, the double O that turned.
Yeah,
because they mentioned other double O's, like, oh, we gave the car to 009 or
but
whatever.
That's it. Yeah,
yeah, this was the
people,
first movie where another 00 agent was like, dude, you know, at some point that movie built up to 006, 007 head to head. On, like, the Arecibo satellite thing or whatever out in the middle. And, dude, it was a badass fight there. You had good villains. You had good... you had the Russians in the mix, dude. You had the whole, like, tank scene in Moscow, I believe. Or somewhere in Russia. I don't know if it was Moscow. I thought that was really badass. You had good Bond girls. You had, Alan Cumming as, like, the little tech guy, Boris?
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I'm invincible.
Yeah, I'm invincible. I thought that he was really great. He was kind of a villain, but not a villain. He was like, you know...
He was just there collecting checks.
Yeah, but he was like, you know, he was a bad guy, but he was also kind of like, you know, you didn't hate him or anything, you know? But I just thought that whole movie was great, man. And then just everything Brosnan did after that. I thought Brosnan was a good Bond. But then all the movies he did after that, I was just like, ugh.
There's some I like, and some I'm like, oh, that was okay. And then there was
Tomorrow Never Dies was okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
And I just, I thought
The World Is Not Enough is probably the worst.
Oh, God.
That's the worst one, man.
Die Another Day was pretty bad, too, dude.
I didn't mind that one.
Bond,
Die Another Day in that sword scene, sword fight scene, that makes the movie almost.
Who does he fight?
I can't remember. I don't remember his name, but it's that North Korean guy that turned himself surgically into a white English man somehow. And
it's like the reverse, you only live twice.
Yeah, and they have a fight. He doesn't know it's that guy, but they have a fight scene because they're in some kind of club in England, some kind of, you know, spa club that where you go and work out and do fencing and things like that. They just have this great 15-minute fight scene. It's pretty badass.
That's the one with Halle Berry, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I couldn't stand Halle Berry as in that movie either.
She was some kind of CIA or something. Agent.
Yeah. I just
it was cheesy enough and okay. I was like, all right,
I've seen worse, man. All I can think of is the part. I think it's that one where Bond is surfing.
Yeah,
with like the parachute on, like winds, like yes. para surfing, sailing, and I'm like, oh
that
god,
was it,
can,
huh?
I can see the CGI here, guys. This is bad. This is really
Pierce
bad.
Wasn't out there. Hanging
yeah,
10.
No,
all
Pierce
right.
was not out. And like I said, I think Pierce Brosnan is a great actor too. Yep. I really like him.
A great looking Bond, like he's a stereotype. Like that, if you were to look at any actor and be like, who should play James Bond?
Yeah, you can't argue with Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, Pierce Brosnan. Yeah.
So yeah, I just couldn't. I mean, the best thing about the Bond movies after GoldenEye, in my opinion, were the songs. I really liked Sheryl Crow did Tomorrow Never Dies. Thought it was good. I love. It probably is the worst one he did, but I love The World Is Not Enough. Garbage did that song.
Oh, yeah,
I
yeah.
love that. I thought that was a great Bond song, but the movie sucked.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, Madonna, I think, did
that's,
Die Another
That's the
Day,
one with, which, where it's yeah. like Denise Richards as some sort of like
yeah, it's, that's
scientist.
That's where Christmas Comes Twice this year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What was her name? Christmas?
Christmas, who gives a fuck?
Yeah,
I don't
who
know.
Gives a shit, yeah. And it was just like, really, you know, not that women can't be scientists, but especially this one.
She's like bouncing around like a Playboy bunny. And
yeah,
she's
like,
oh,
this
by
one
the
is
way.
Some kind of nuclear engineer. I don't think so.
So yeah, that one, GoldenEye, God, I love that movie so much. And it doesn't hurt that there was probably one of the best video games ever made tied right to that movie.
Okay, yeah,
GoldenEye on Nintendo 64. I don't know how many hours I spent playing that video game back
in the
day.
That was like the first badass, or one of them, I guess. The
multiplayer
console,
shooters.
Multiplayer shooters, first-person shooter.
I don't know how many, like, four, you know, split-screen, four players just sitting there with your buddies just talking so much shit.
It was Call of Duty before there was Call of Duty.
Oh, yeah, basically. Just, you know, doing all the different, like, you know, all rocket launchers or the golden gun or, you know, somebody playing Odd Job and just cheesing everybody because Odd Job was so short or whatever that you couldn't headshot him unless, like, you were... You know, you couldn't come around a corner and headshot Odd Job. You had to be kneeled down coming around a corner because he was so short. And plus they had all the Bond characters in that video game too. Like, you know, like I said, Odd Job. Odd Job was, you know, that was a different era of Bond. It wasn't GoldenEye. But you could play like, you know, Baron Samedi and, you know, from Live and Let Die. And you could play like all these different, you know, bad guys and other characters from other Bond movies. And so that didn't hurt. That, you know, around that same time frame, this incredible video games out there that I'm like, that just helped foster my like for the movie, which I already loved the movie anyway. I went and saw that. That was the first Bond movie I ever went to go see in theaters. I was 15, I think, okay. And went with some friends. And like, I mean, we watched it the next day we went again to go see it. I just loved that movie. And that's what really started my fandom of Bond was back then seeing that first movie. And I was like, man, I need to go back and watch all these other ones. And so that's back around the time in my life when I went and watched all the previous ones and then went to the theater and was disappointed by Tomorrow Never Dies, World Is Not Enough, Die Another Day.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, when I went to go see Casino Royale, I was like, God, please. I don't know about Daniel Craig as James Bond. I don't know. But I'm going to go try. I'm going to go see it. And I was pleased with Casino Royale. Yeah. I came out of it. I was like, man, it was long as hell, but good movie.
Cool. Yeah.
Good movie. I like it. I like where they're going.
So what's number one?
Number one.
On suspense here,
number man. One, man. And it's probably the Bond movie with the most out of set aside from the actual story, story to it, and I'll explain why, is Thunderball. Thunderball, man, is just...
badass.
It's just badass, man. Yeah. Sean Connery, top of his game. The jetpack scene.
You've got your classic. There's, you know, you hadn't seen Blofeld yet.
Yep.
Too much.
Yep.
And then he had the whole... this was Inspector 2, you know, where they've got the council of people.
Yep.
Boardroom, whatever you want to call it, and you're like, oh, you know, what's going on? Number one, that's why Dr. Evil spoofs this, and Austin Powers, and all that stuff. And, yeah, it's just, God.
And I think it was the fourth Bond movie, yeah. It's kind of like there was like a kind of race against the clock there with some atomic bombs being stolen by Spectre.
Yeah.
And
that's
kind of like,
where you learn more about Spectre, too.
Yeah, and also... Felix Leiter's in that movie a good chunk. Whenever he goes to like the Bahamas, I think he's spending like some time there. He meets up with Felix Leiter, his counterpart in the CIA.
Oh, this is the guy who has a recurring theme.
Yeah,
like
he's
a CIA agent. That's
exactly
him. Okay. He was in the new Bond movies.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I can't remember the actor's name that plays him, but I like that actor. I just can't remember his name. He's one of those guys you see and you're like, oh yeah, that guy, but you can't remember his name.
Yeah. He was in Hunger Games. He was like that nerdy champion, if anyone's ever seen that. I think like the second movie, that's the only one I've seen, but yeah, he does a great job. I remember the first time I ever saw him, it was in Goldfinger, I think, because they're in America more in that one,
yeah,
like we mentioned earlier, and this CIA agent's having to follow Bond around trying to help him out,
and I think what is it
character,
and like you said, it's got this you know, sort of Dr. Evil kind of, you know, that or a plot that would be, you know, parodied by, you know, Dr. Evil in the Austin Powers movie, where I think they hold the world ransom for $100 million in diamonds or something.
Yeah, that's where a lot
it's
of
like,
it
we
comes
don't want
from.
Cash money, we want diamonds,
yeah.
Baby.
Yeah.
So yeah. It was just, you know, kind of, it's just such a great movie, man. Everything, every hallmark of Bond is hit in that movie, and it's hit in a good way. And I don't know, man. If you told me right now, like, I could only take, man, it would be tough, God. If I had to pick between GoldenEye, and that's why it was so hard for me to, like, choose between GoldenEye and Thunderball, but Thunderball has Sean Connery.
I would, well, not just that, but I would go with Thunderball. And I mean, I won't do, like, a top five like you did, like, where I count down. I'll just give you some of my five favorite ones. And Thunderball's one of them. And the reason I like some of the other ones that I'll probably name here as some of my favorites is what makes Thunderball so good and some of these other Bond movies is it always has like this kind of final epic
showdown
or fight or whatever, because there's like this huge plot that, you know, to take over the world or blow it up or whatever, and Bond is in there trying to foil it, and there might be, you know, his agency or maybe an agency there he and maybe the British Secret Service is working with, whatever, the locals, and they're all in there just going, you know, balls of the wall, just trying to take the plot down, whatever the plot is.
You know, real quick, I think of one of the other things about Thunderball 2 was it was one of the first times we saw, like, kind of it wasn't very long, like Casino Royale did it to the nines, was more than just a brief look at Bond card playing cards.
Yeah.
And in Thunderball, it was all Baccarat back then. You know,
he's always walking into some kind of casino somewhere.
Yeah, and this was like, cool where he actually sat down, because I think the main villain is a card playing guy too.
Yeah.
Kind of like Le Chiffre in
Casino
Royale.
That's true, yeah.
So, and I thought that was kind of neat.
And not only does he play cards, but he's really good at it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So anyway, I'm sorry, go on.
No, you're fine. But yeah, that's probably a lot of my favorite ones are like that, where it's like there's some kind of epic story, and yeah, it's kind of a cheesy, you know, I don't know, aiming a laser at the moon type of thing. We're going to blow it up just for the hell of it. that type of plot, you know. Those are my favorite ones. So like, yeah, Thunderball, Goldfinger,
yep.
And plus, like you said, they're classic, iconic ones anyway. Sean Connery, all that great stuff. You Only Live Twice. I love that.
Okay,
movie.
So you really like that one, huh?
I
didn't
love that
hate
movie.
It. I don't think I could ever get past just laughing at the whenever they first put Bond out there and make him look quote
that
unquote Japanese.
That's
just,
the worst thing about that movie.
I just couldn't get over it. I was
but
like,
it's only for like you know. 10
I know, or but I was
minutes.
Just like, who's buying this? What guy? You know, what guy in Japan is looking at this guy going,
oh yeah,
seems legit.
Yeah,
you know, legit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's totally Japanese.
He's only like 3 feet taller than everybody else
yeah,
here.
I know.
And he just does not. He looks like a Romulan.
It's
it looks
just
like
kind of a product of the time where I think I don't know. I guess white people thought they could get away with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
I don't know, but yeah, that's a great one.
Okay,
you know, they're. I think that's the one where like they're in Blofeld's in like some kind of volcano or something, right? And like they're trying to like steal, American, you know, the Apollo programs basically. Like Apollo's up there, like they're trying to go to the moon. He's up there.
Like they hijack a spacecraft.
Yeah,
with
they're stealing all the spacecraft, yeah, and he's gonna like hold him. He's gonna put his own up there, and I don't know. I can't even remember what they were gonna do. Like shoot some lasers down and blow the world up, or have it crash somewhere. But anyway, it's another one of those where it's like epic final battle. Ninjas drop out of everywhere.
That's true.
In that
there
one.
Are ninjas. In
they're
that
like
movie.
Just going at that volcano crater. Just.
Yeah,
grenades are being thrown, gunfights, that type of thing. That's what makes some of the best Bond movies.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough.
So,
like I said,
only
hate it.
Twice,
I don't hate
one.
That movie.
No,
I just Sean Connery didn't do a bad Bond, in my opinion.
No,
even Diamonds Are Forever. I'm like, hey, it's not the best one, but
that's probably my least favorite one.
Man, yeah. I like it, dude. Especially that part, man. I thought it was cool. There's a part where he was rolling around in a Stang. I was like, man, he's got a Mustang.
Yeah.
No Aston Martin here, baby. You're rolling. I think he was like in a Mustang Mach 1 or something, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was cool though. But anyway, go on. Okay, so Only Live Twice. What else?
I'm trying to remember like what other ones are like that. There's not too many. I guess Goldeneye was kind of like that, to some extent.
Hey, I'm with you. GoldenEye.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
GoldenEye competes for number one in my book.
Yeah, and like you said, Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Great that's, movie. That's, great movie. Just probably the most underrated.
Even besides the Bond movie, it's like that was a really good movie.
Yep. Yep.
Like, damn.
Yeah.
I like a lot of the Roger Moore ones, but they're kind of hit or miss.
See, you know, for me,
his first one is that's the worst one.
I'll give
the
Roger
worst.
Moore this
it's a,
much.
It's not even the worst one. It's a god awful movie. I
Live
even,
and Let Die is. Really
I
bad.
Hurt. Just even mentioning this movie.
Great song.
No, no,
you don't
dude.
Like the song?
After watching that movie, no, I fucking
it killed
hate that
the song.
Song?
Okay,
yeah,
well, it didn't kill the song
like
for me.
James Bond could have been like walking into a restroom and just like going to take a shit and it'd be like "Live and Let Die." Da, 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 da. I'm like, I just stop playing it. Stop it. Like, I get like you use a song to kind of change the pace of a movie, but like
sure.
Every 5 minutes that song was popping up, and I was just like. Please stop it.
They had Paul McCartney, man. They were like, we're going to use
just,
the shit out of this.
I think that's... I want to say, like, that whole movie was made just to promote that fucking song.
Yeah, it could have been. I don't know.
Oh, my God.
But you'll notice on my list, Roger Moore's nowhere on my top five.
Yeah.
I think Roger Moore's era of Bond was where the super camp came in to the series.
I like some of it, though.
And again, I enjoy some of it, but if I had to say... There's really only one Roger Moore movie that if, like, the world was ending, I would be like, make sure we grab a copy of that.
Yeah.
And that's The Spy Who Loved Me. I thought that was the best
I'm
one
trying
that
to
he
remember.
Did.
That might be the one I'm trying to remember.
It's the one with the subs, like the...
I think that's... And you know why I like that? Because it has some kind of big showdown there at the end. Same thing.
Yep.
They're in a sub. Some kind of huge, crazy watercraft.
Yep.
That guy's, like, living in. He's got, like, what, like $1 million aquarium?
Yeah.
Or something. And, you know, Bond says something about it, like, oh, really, $1 million? And he's like, yeah, why? Just because I can. You know, that's kind of evil Blofeld type of villain type of thing, you know? And it's like, that's probably my favorite Roger Moore. And if I had to put, you know, in the top Bond movies.
And which is the one I did actually, was he in the one where, who was in the one where they were in Greece a lot?
That's Roger Moore.
Which one was that? Was that For Your Eyes Only?
Yes, I think so.
That one's not bad either.
Yeah, there's some decent ones. Like, it kind of like every other Roger Moore one, it was like, hey, pretty good. And then they do one in between that was like, oh, that was okay.
I mean,
it
Man
wasn't
with
horrible.
The, Man
was
with
like,
the Golden Gun.
Like Moonraker, eh.
Yeah, but, you know, but
it's okay.
Yeah, but yeah, and like Man with the Golden Gun, I'm like.
I didn't mind that one.
I'm just kind of like, man, Christopher Lee, great actor. I mean, legend. I just don't think we used him enough in that movie.
Yeah.
I and this is not just with Bond. I hate it in movies. I mean, I don't know how many movies I could name where I'm like, dude, one of the coolest characters in your movie is the villain. And not only did you underuse him, you got rid of him in one movie.
Yeah.
Especially a movie where it's like, you know, we know there's going to be more. I'm not saying let every character, bad guy, fucking live. But I'm saying, that's what, dude, 006, man. God, I wish 006... If 006 had been the villain throughout a couple or a handful of Pierce Brosnan's movies, I probably would have liked him better.
Yeah.
They just always had these dumb...
That's kind of what I was talking about earlier. Like, those older Bond movies, other than the Daniel Craig ones, they were just standalones. They even though the Blofeld and Spectre was a recurring theme, the old one, it was just like... It was almost like you could forget those other movies even happened.
Yeah.
And Spectre and Blofeld are in this one.
Yeah.
Or Jaws. Jaws is in a couple.
Yeah, Jaws. You know?
But that's it. It's like they're just there. There's no tie together. There's no like, oh, hey, I remember you from when I fought you in that last movie. It's just they're there, and like you're just, oh, like, hey, I know that guy.
I hope that's what they do. I hope at least one thing that they take from the Daniel Craig series is, I thought the smartest thing they did was they had this sort of strung along story between all of his movies.
Like, you really need to watch all the next one before you see Spectre.
To see the full resolution of that Bond's arc,
You
really need to watch all of them in order.
Yep.
And I hope that's what they do with whoever comes along and plays Bond next, be it, some unknown or... Hell, I still say, I'm cool with Idris Elba. I know there was talk about that.
I
doubt it happens too, and he's a little up there too in age. I mean, he's 40 something. Not to mention all the dumb shit blowback. People be like, Bond can't be black. I'm like, dude, yeah, he can.
He can be a woman. You ever thought about that?
Yeah, but man, as much
would you just
I don't
hate
know.
That?
I don't know. I don't know. I would give
Why
it.
Not?
I would.
Why?
I don't
Why
know. Not, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
I would give it a shot.
Yeah,
I'll say that. But if you ask me, if I'm skeptical, I'd be skeptical. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to act like I wouldn't be skeptical. I'd be like, man, I don't know about this. But that's not to say I couldn't sit down and be like, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah,
I shouldn't. Even then, I would defend my skepticism. I'd be like, man, you're taking something and turning it on its head. Because I think a female Bond would just have to play different. I hope if they did a female Bond, they wouldn't try to play it the same way they play Bond as he's kind of been throughout the decades.
Like how?
I
would actually
Bond
like
is a womanizer.
I'm
not saying that a female Bond could be a man-eater.
Yeah.
Actually, that'd be kind of cool.
That's what I'm saying. I think it'd be
here's
badass.
The thing. Here's the thing I hope they wouldn't do. Let's just take, for instance, Spectre. Bond goes toe-to-toe with Dave Bautista.
Okay,
and gets tossed around like a rag doll. He holds his own for as much as he can, and eventually he, let's just say,
comes out on top.
He comes out on top with a little assistance from a woman.
Yeah.
However, if the roles had been reversed, I hope they don't make a female Bond able... I don't mind a female character that can... I just hate it whenever I see female characters go toe-to-toe with guys that are like... just super massive fucking people. I'm like, dude, I hate it when I see it. Like, if Daniel Craig's Bond would have just just totally wrecked Dave Bautista, I would have been like, no, dude, come on. Dave Bautista, there needs to be another way Bond gets out of this. Now, can Bond lock up with him for at least a little bit? Okay, cool. But if what was the female character's name? If she would have locked up with him, and I would have been like, no, yeah. I'm sorry. I know that there's laser beams and flying cars and shit in this, but
so basically they would have to do it a certain way for you to buy it.
Like, dude, if it were a female character, a female Bond, and say Batista was coming at her and she just hit him in the throat and just put him down, I'd be like, cool, makes sense.
That's what I'm saying.
But if she went let's box, dude, let's box.
Yeah,
I'd be no. So I, if she just pulled out a gun and blasted him, I'd be like, that's badass.
Yeah.
If she would have done do the Indiana Jones thing, okay, dude, you're going to show off to me and it's going to look like, how the hell am I going to beat this guy? Oh yeah, I've got a gun. Black. Okay, cool. Next scene.
Yeah.
And again, what would it be like? Jasmine Bond? I don't know. Jamie Bond?
Jane Bond, man. Yeah.
Jane Bond. I'm not saying it couldn't work, but I don't think you need to. I don't think you need to do it, because I think they already have shown that they have a dude, Moneypenny. Moneypenny was pretty badass.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to make James Bond female. I think you can just have characters. If you want to have a more, stronger female characters in those movies, that's cool. I mean, hell, Halle Berry was pretty badass. As much as I didn't like the movie, she wasn't no fucking pushover and Die Another Day.
No.
I mean, she was like, you know, doing her own thing, taking people out, pissing Bond off kind of throughout the movie. He's like, damn, she was always a step ahead of him, really.
Yeah.
He was kind of like, damn, I'm coming up, like, kind of having to clean up the messes she leaves. Well, he's trying to figure out who's leaving those messes, and it turns out to be her, and she's just kind of running a warpath.
Yeah, that is an interesting point. Like, she kind of takes advantage of him.
Yeah, yeah. And I was cool with
that. That's how they meet, and then, like, he wakes up and, like, oh, she's gone. Where'd she go?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, she's bouncing, man.
Yeah, she's like, hey, thanks for the D, buddy. I'm out, dude. Yeah. Like, she kind of treated him like how...
Yeah.
You know, and he was kind of a little like, you know, oh, damn.
Okay, sure.
This is what the shoe feels like on the other foot.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so
it's like any other role that they would do this with if they were changing it from a man to woman. They would just do it just to do something different.
Yeah, and I just
hope I wouldn't mind it in the end, is my point.
But, I don't know if I'd mind it. Like I said, I'm not going to lie. I'd be skeptical. I would give it a chance. I would go see it, and I would be open to having my mind changed. I would just not expect to have my mind changed.
Well, and then something else, like, this is a type of role where it's like you're going to be doing it for more than one movie, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, not to say that a woman couldn't do it, but, like, you would have then, like, okay, we're going to have you for, like, four or five movies.
Yep.
How are they going to keep that fresh? Because, like kind of some of the problems you're talking about where it's like, I don't want to see this woman, you know, going toe-to-toe boxing with a huge guy who could just literally be like, bam! You know,
which I'm saying, like, I think that
how would they change that from movie to movie and keep it to where it's like it's realism and not going, you know, over the top and just doing stupid things that shouldn't be happening.
And I think they could do it. I think they could do it. I just don't think that they need to. They need to make sure they don't do, you know, they don't do anything that's too absurd.
Yeah.
Which, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of absurd shit in the Bond movies.
Oh yeah, so many cheesy one-liners that I just shot
a
rocket launcher at you.
Yeah, maybe I'm being unfair, but another reason why I wouldn't have liked it is because they did try to ground a lot of the Daniel Craig movies in realism, and I even thought the Batista fight with Daniel Craig was pretty realistic.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig got tossed around a lot. He landed some good punches. He got his ass beat.
Yeah.
As he probably would. So if they would have done that, you know, if that stretch of movies had just been more fantastical, it would be easier to swallow what was happening if it was a female character in place of Bond. A female Bond. I'd be like, okay, cool. Well, we've already seen, like, you know, some fly-by-wire shit being done anyway. Cool. Whatever. Moving on. But since these movies are trying to be more realistic, it would have just come off as like, really? That's where, you know, I mean, you're jumping the shark there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think it would be really difficult, and man, that would be a hell of a challenge, I think. But I'm not saying it couldn't be done. I'm not saying it's impossible.
It'd be a good reason to do it, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't think they should do it. I just think James Bond is James Bond. I think if you want to change, you know, if you want to have a black guy play it, if you want to have, you know, and you know, whatever, whoever play it, I don't. As long as they're British, in my opinion, they need to be British. They need to be.
I would agree with that. Yeah.
They need to be, you know, have some, you know, kind of ties to, you know, they need to be 007. They need to be British. Cool. Let's go. And in my opinion, keep it a guy. But hey. If you want to, that's what the thing they could do is if they really wanted to is introduce, like, if this Moneypenny character, keep her out in the field and keep her running through multiple movies being kind of like, make her 006, make her 008, you know, make a female character, a 00 agent that Bond runs into throughout a stretch of movies. That would be badass.
Yeah, I mean, is there a
and have
that's
and
a
always
woman?
Have Bond's trying to bang her and she's always just kind of like, ain't giving him the time of day, but. They are colleagues and comrades, so, you know, yeah, we'll work together, whenever Bond's kind of like, so, trying to drop a one-liner on her, you know, she could just be like, you know, get the fuck out of here, dude. You know, while you're saving this part of the world, I'm saving this part of the world, so I'll see you later.
Is there a villain that's a woman in any of the Bond movies? I mean, I know there's, like, bad women, but they're always, like, working for somebody else.
Yeah, they're never,
Was Femke,
Famke Janssen?
Yeah.
Well, no, you gotta think she wasn't the main villain,
yeah,
no.
Seemed like, not even that, like, you could have a badass.
She was a good bad guy. I liked her as Xenia on a top.
There are bad women in the movies, but it's like, be the main villain? I'd totally buy that, especially some kind of role you're talking about where it's like she's some kind of agent too, and
or hell, she could, you know, I mean, I always thought it'd be cool if anybody has any jilted, jaded exes. I think it would be James Bond.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So if maybe he jilted or jaded the wrong chick, who was like, "Yeah, I'm going to basically be the supervillain now." I think that would be awesome. So again, while I don't think they should make a female Bond, I think they could definitely make female characters that are kind of either strong villains or strong heroines. And they've done it a little bit here and there. I just think they could make it more, you know, like I said, a female 00, just not 007, I think would be cool. And hey, do a spinoff. Why the fuck not?
Yeah.
Do 008, 003, 004, shit, dude. Do your own spinoff, man. Have her own movies. I think that would be badass.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, that would be the best of both worlds, is like you could keep James Bond, James Bond.
And then you could have James Bond.
Guess what? 003 was
Woman
that's like totally just as badass as James
and
Bond.
You could have 007 pop up in her movies, you know, a little cameo, her making a cameo in his. That'd be awesome.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, I think if you know, whoever, MGM or whoever is looking at doing stuff like that, I think maybe that's the direction that I would personally look, but you know, obviously I'm not cutting the checks there. So
yeah.
But anyway, I think we've gone on for, wow, this is our longest podcast by far, I think, or by 10 minutes or so. So I think we need to hit escape velocity here pretty quick.
And that's cool. Yeah.
Get out of here.
We actually got this one, I hope. We haven't listened to it yet, but it's actually recorded somewhat higher quality than any of our other ones have been.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know what you think about the quality of this one compared to the other podcasts. I know the last one we literally phoned in.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a test, too. We wanted to test how, if we needed to do a podcast over the phone, how would it sound? Would it be acceptable? And I think it was. But it's obviously not as good quality, hopefully, I think, is what this one's going to be.
Yeah.
So
we're like audio engineers now. We have two mics working at the same time.
Yeah, we're actually using two programs at once here.
Oh, man.
Yes. Yeah. It's a brave new world.
Yeah.
But all right. So you got anything else you wanted to say?
No, I was just going to say, like, you know, get a hold of us. And, you know, if you want to bring up a topic or talk about this one, that this episode we just did, or just like I said, anything, like,
yeah, any comments, we'll talk
anything,
about them,
yeah,
or any suggestions for topics, we'll
email
maybe
us,
make a podcast about it, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Or so, if it's, you know, like I said, if it's something, I know a lot of people around locally here might want to mention something, you want to mention that, go for it,
we can talk about it too.
Yeah.
I'm always down to give my bad opinions.
Yeah.
So
Email us
ufppodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. And then the Twitter, you know, hey, just anyway, I made a Facebook page, but I don't think anything's on there. Just whatever. Just
what's the Twitter? At UFP?
At UFP Podcast.
At UFP Podcast.
And
okay.
Then, you know, I think on Facebook we're just, you know, unidentified flying podcast.
Okay. Which don't at this point I'd say don't use Facebook right now.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Just,
okay.
Yeah, just like us, add me on Twitter, email. I don't care at this point. Just, you know, get a hold of us somehow, and we'll get back to you.
Okay.
Or put you on the podcast. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, and we're definitely not opposed to maybe having, you know, trying to figure out exactly what other computer program we might need to run to have a guest on. If we ever do have guests on.
Yeah, that's something a lot of people would love to have guests. You know, so, especially if it's, like you said, if it's something local, that's even better.
Yeah. So, hey, so, you know, if you guys are listening to us out there, send us some feedback at our email or on Twitter or whatever. And so until next time, I'm Drew.
I'm Brad.
And this has been the Unidentified Flying Podcast.